22. Last week we started a new study. We finished our emptiness series, so we started a new study last week on diversions of the Bible, or biblical diversions. And last week we looked at the diversion of hesitation, where Lot refused to leave the city of Sodom, even though the angels had to grab hold of him and drag him out. And we looked at the diversion of hesitation. And what we're going to look at tonight in the account of Balaam and the donkey is the diversion of correction. And that's the thing about diversions. We said last week that when we come to a diversion on a road, sometimes a diversion can take us miles away from where we need to go. And other times a diversion can take us through a path we've never been before and show us things that we've never seen before bringing us back onto the right road, as it were. And one of the frustrating things about the Christian life is the fact that sometimes we get off course. We understand that this is a straight and narrow path, that there's only one way into heaven. But on that narrow path, sometimes we ourselves seem to stumble through the Christian life. Sometimes we make decisions that cause us to stray a little bit, which I think is superbly demonstrated in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And sometimes, you know, our attitudes get sour. Sometimes our priorities get out of whack. Sometimes our hearts get hard. Sometimes we become bitter or cold. Sometimes we become selfish, and the list is endless of some of the things we can do as a believer that we need the diversion of correction. We're heading in the wrong path, as it were, and sometimes the Lord needs to step in and divert us, as it were, back to the right path. The Christian life is not a playground. The Christian life daily is a battleground. The believer is in a constant conflict with our flesh. The believer is in constant conflict with the world. The believer is in constant conflict with the devil himself. And Paul expressed that frustration in Romans 7. If you remember, he said that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That the things he shouldn't do, that's what he wanted to do. And this is the verse that lots of preachers struggle to quote, so I won't try and quote it. I'll actually read it. He says, for the good that I would not, I do not. For the good, oh, here we go. For the good, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? When we drift from the Lord spiritually, it is so easy to suffer a spiritual defeat. We will start making choices according to the flesh, according to circumstances, according to surroundings, rather than according to the scripture. When we're on that road of spiritual defeat, then our lives, our witness, our testimony suddenly becomes destructive. It's not a help anymore, it is a hindrance. And oftentimes the Lord needs to intervene and put us on a diversion of correction. He needs to turn us around and get us back on the right track. And that's what I want to look at tonight in the example of Balaam. And for us to see some reasons why Balaam was on this diversion of correction, and then to learn from Balaam's mistakes so that we don't make those same mistakes ourselves. It says in verse 21 of Numbers 22, Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote it again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass and said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there with a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to come around your word. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to understand the path that we are on, Lord. If there is any of us who are deviating from the way set before us, Lord, if because of our own actions, Lord, if because of our selfishness or pride or whatever it is that's crept into our lives that's caused us to wander from you, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that many times in our lives you put a block in the way to divert us back onto the right path. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone tonight that needs that hand of correction, as it were, the scripture says that those the Lord loves, he chastens, be zealous therefore and repent. And if any of us need chastening tonight, Lord, would you do just that? Help us then to see the error of our ways, to repent and to turn back and to be put back on that right path and to live a life and to walk a walk that is pleasing unto thee. Father, we pray that you would help us tonight and that you would receive all the glory, the honor and the praise, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So just to give a background to this story, and I'm sure we're all familiar with the account of Balaam and the ass. Balak, king of Moab, is scared because of the numbers of the children of Israel. So he hires a prophet, Balaam, to curse the people of Israel. They are growing. Balak won't be able to control them. He's scared and he wants them to be weak so that he can conquer them. Balaam responded to this offer by telling him he would seek the Lord's direction. And in verse 12 of Numbers 22, God said to Balaam, "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." So God said to Balaam, "You shall not go." So Balaam says to Balak, he can't go because God said no. And then Balak asks him again if he would seek the Lord's direction again. And then Balaam asks the Lord once more if he could go. And in Numbers 22, verse 20, God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do." And here's the thing, the original command from God was "do not go." And how incredible it is that when the Lord says no to us, we try and circumnavigate the Lord's commands. We try and find a way around it. We try and find a way of softening his words. You know, it's like when a parent says no to a child. And then if the mama said no to the child, what does the child do? It goes and asks dad. And then dad says, "What did mum say?" She said that if you were okay with it, then she was okay with it. And children are really clever. So they play one parent off the other to get their own way. And oftentimes we do that with God. You know, God has said clearly to us in his word, no. So what do? We then start asking counsel of people to see if they think it's all right, regardless that God's word has already said no. And we try and get around it. Can I say this? God's way, whilst it might not always make sense, while it might not always satisfy our wants, God's way is always the best way. Don't try and circumnavigate God's will. Don't try and circumvent God's way for us. God's command was don't go with them and don't curse the Israelites. But Balaam saddles his donkey, and when the princes of Moab turn up, Balaam goes with them. And that's where we pick up our story. So I want to just say a few open and closed things this evening. First of all, we see that Balaam's ears are closed. It's like a child puts his fingers in his ears and just goes la 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 when they don't want to hear something. Balaam's ears are closed. And because of that, the anger of the Lord is kindled against him. In verse 22 of chapter 22, it says, God's anger was kindled because he went. God was angry with Balaam. You might say, well, that's unfair because God did say that he could go when he sought the Lord the second time. But here's the thing. God said the first time, no, you can't go. But instead of accepting that and saying, yeah, fair enough, no problem, Balaam's like a spoiled child who really wants to go because of the rewards that's on offer. And it's almost like a parent giving in to the child for them to have their own way, knowing that they're going to get into trouble and the parent is going to end up having to bail the child out anyway. You know, it amazed me how much insight my parents had into mistakes that I was making that I couldn't see, but that they could. You know, don't go down that path because, you know, that's a dangerous place to go and that's a dangerous, you know, way to start walking. But you think, oh, parents don't know anything. You know, it amazes me sometimes when perhaps our kids think, you know, you're fuddy-duddies, you don't know nothing, forgetting the fact that we've been there and we've done that. God knows far more than we do, and God's original command to Balaam was no, do not go. But because of his stubbornness and because of his attitude and because of his motive for money, they were all wrong motives for doing what he was doing. The Lord's anger was kindled against Balaam. You might say, well, that, you know, that's unusual for God to be angry. Surely God doesn't sin, but God doesn't sin when he becomes angry. You can be angry and sin not. That's what the Lord said to us. If we pursue a path that is displeasing to the Lord, if we pursue a lifestyle that is displeasing to the Lord, can I say this? Don't be surprised when God puts a roadblock in our way to divert us back onto the right path. Balaam was stubborn. He refused to listen to the Lord. He was on this diversion because his way was perverse. It says in verse 32, the angel of the Lord said to him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. That word perverse is from the word yarat, which means to be stubborn, hasty, unconcerned, reckless, resistant. It has the idea of tossing something or someone without any concern or care into a dangerous situation. And that's the way Balaam was behaving. He was putting himself into a dangerous situation that he didn't need to be in. He was putting himself in harm's way. He was walking a path that was destructive. He was heading towards destruction. He was heading down a path that God could see the final outcome. And God says to him, Balaam, don't go down this path. But Balaam has got his fingers in his ears because he's stubborn and he wants his own way and he wants the shiny things of the world. He wants what the world has to offer and he refuses to unblock his ears, as it were, and listen to God's word, and he is perverse. He's stubborn towards the Lord. Are we that way? Are we stubborn when it comes to God's word, when God tells us to do something and we don't, or God tells us not to do something and we do it anyway? When we make those decisions in our lives, I'm thankful that we serve a loving God, that even though he might allow us to head down that path for a little bit, he will always put a roadblock in the way to get us back on the right path. He loves us too much to allow us to continue going down that road. Zechariah 7:12 says, yea, they've made in their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the Lord and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Let's not make God angry because of our stubbornness. But not only were Balaam's ears closed, his path was closed. In verse 22, in the latter part of verse 22, he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, the ass walked into the open field. God was blocking the path that Balaam was heading down. You know, and when we're on a bad path, isn't it incredible how we make one bad decision after the other? You know, it's like Joe, what was that slide called? Is it Helter Skelter? It's like a Helter Skelter. Thank you, Joe. You know, it suddenly starts off a bit slower, and then one bad decision, and one bad decision, it gets faster and faster and faster. We find ourselves on a difficult path, and we make one bad choice after another, and sometimes we fail to recognize the roadblocks that God has put in our way. The block to say, no, don't go down this path. Don't head in this direction. This way, you know, is a way of destruction. Yes, you might be saved, and that doesn't mean that you're headed to a you know, destruction, to a crisis hell. But it means that your testimony would be destroyed, that your witness would be destroyed, that, you know, family could be destroyed. Whatever it might be, God puts that block in our path to say, don't go any further. The resistance is not done out of hate, but it's because the Lord loves us and he sees the path that we're heading on. It's incredible that sometimes other people can see the path that we are heading down more than we can. You know, they can see the dangers and they try and help, they try and counsel, they try and, you know, be loving and supportive and correct us. But what do? We tend to lash out to those closest to us. God wasn't pleased with Balaam. And he puts this roadblock in his way. And the donkey that Balaam was riding had more discernment than Balaam did. The beast could see what the prophet couldn't see. The angel of the Lord was standing in the path of Balaam with his sword drawn to strike. And the donkey leaves the path and goes into the open field. How does Balaam respond? He simply smites the donkey. We see at the end of verse 23, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. And when we're on a diversion of correction, sometimes we end up punishing the people who are trying to help us the most. Those who love us and try and get us to stop what we're doing, try and get us to turn around, we lash out at them irrationally. We tell them to mind their own business. It's none of their concern. It's our life. We don't know. They don't know what they're talking about. One of the reasons why we get on a diversion of correction is because we're stubborn or hard-hearted. And that was Balaam's problem. He wanted his way. He wanted to go down that path. He was determined to go his own way, and God was trying to get his attention. The behavior of the donkey didn't get his attention or raise any awareness that there was danger ahead. He just thought the donkey was being stupid. He thought the donkey was being daft. And you know, we often make the mistake, that our foolish decisions won't affect us, or that they won't affect others. We need to be careful, because when we make those mistakes, then our foolish decisions do affect those around and about us. The donkey wasn't being stupid. The donkey wasn't some dumb animal that we perceive it to be today. When the animal is well treated, it holds its head up high, it steps lively, it can gallop if the need arises. If it's treated with cruelty, then it kind of becomes a slothful and spiritless animal. The domestic donkey was a highly prized one in the Middle East. It was an important mode of transport for the common people. It was ideal for carrying supplies. The donkey was an animal that was highly adapted for especially desert travel. It had an easy gait and could sometimes travel a lot quicker than most other animals and could keep up with the camels of the desert. On rough terrain, it was faster than horses because it was sure-footed and able to endure rough ground. And if a wild donkey was captured, it would bite, kick, plunge and rear up to escape. But once a burden was placed on his back, he would calm down and submit to his master. Why am I saying all that? Because Balaam treated the donkey like he was some stupid animal. But the donkey had far more sense than Balaam did. The donkey could see far more than Balaam could see. Balaam continues his journey in spite of the donkey's behavior. He turns the donkey around in his open field, so the Lord uses a more drastic measure. And you'll see each and every time the measure gets more and more drastic to get Balaam's attention. He tightens the road so that Balaam's legs, crash into the wall. So he smites the donkey again. And then it gets to a point where he brings him to a path that was so narrow, Balaam had nowhere to go. Completely and utterly stuck. I wonder what the Lord has to do in our lives to get our attention. Sometimes he brings us to a point where we are stuck and we feel maybe confined. And we literally don't know which way to turn. Have you ever kind of crawled into a space that you thought you could get through and you got stuck? If we, in our attic, we converted upstairs in the attic into a bedroom, but there's obviously doors on the side into the eaves. And if I go in through the door the wrong way, I get stuck. And sometimes it really does cause you to think what you were doing in the first place. But that's the same in our lives, in our spiritual walk. We get to a point where we are heading in a destructive direction, and sometimes the Lord brings us to a point where he squeezes us so that we have to stop. And we have to think about what we've done, about the direction we've gone in, about where we've been heading, about who we've been hurting along the way. Balaam keeps punishing the donkey, even though the donkey was trying to help him. Balaam had not figured out what was going on because he was blind to what was happening. The donkey sees the angel. And it comes to a point where they come to that tight squeeze that the donkey just loses his foot in, just crumbles under the weight, as it were. Balaam, by this point now, having his legs banged against the wall, coming into a tight spot, is so incensed that he's about to beat this donkey to death. And anger tends to do that when you are frustrated, when you can't get a problem solved, or when you're under conviction about something that you're doing is wrong. Sometimes when we lash out at others, it's because we know that what we're doing is not right. It's because we know what God's word says and we don't really want to be obedient to it. We don't want to accept it because we want what we want and we want it now. Sometimes God will just bring us to a point where we can't move anyway. That we have to take notice to what he is saying. So Balaam's ears were closed, his path was closed, but the donkey's mouth was opened. In verse 28, the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there with a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine? Unto this day was that I ever want to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." If God couldn't get Balaam's attention through the ass going in the wrong direction, God would get Balaam's attention by opening the donkey's mouth. Do we make the same mistakes as Balaam? Do we fail to understand when God says no to us and we go ahead with our plans anyway? Do we miss the cues, if you like, of the donkeys in our lives? I'm not saying that everybody that gives us advice or is trying to help us are donkeys in any way, but do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes God puts people in our path to try and help us. God puts circumstances in our path to get our attention. Sometimes God puts a block in our path to turn us around. And it's important that we listen to these warning signs. Ignoring warning signs can be dangerous. I don't know if I should say this because at the time, this was my mother's car. But I bought my mum's car a couple of years ago because my car had to go into the garage. And we'd taken our friends, Jerry and Rhonda, up to West Wales to St. David's. Joe's back wasn't particularly good, so I went to get the car. And if you've ever been to St. David's, it's a horrendous town to drive through. So the cathedral was right there, and where we'd parked the car, I'd kind of driven around the wrong road, and there was a sign saying, don't go any further. And we came to the river. So my car is here, the river's there, Joe and Rhonda are right there, the other side of the river. The sign said, don't go any further. But I thought, I don't want to drive all the way around now because I'll take too long. Joe and Rhonda are just there. The river doesn't look that deep. I can drive the car through the river. Oh, my days, I can't believe I'm saying this. Jerry's going, small, bro, you can't do it. You won't get through. The sign's saying don't do it. The sign is saying stop. All the warning signs are there. I don't know if it's my heart or my head, but something inside me was saying, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, stop. But then something else inside me was saying, it'll be fine, you'll do it, no problem, it's not deep, you can drive through it, no worries. God had put a roadblock in our way, called a river. But I thought, we'll get through this. So I plucked up the courage, revved the engine, and can I say this? I gave a new meaning to dipping the headlights. and the car got stuck in the river. So St. David's on a summer's day is a very busy place. And there were lots of people around looking at me behind the wheel of this little Hyundai Getz. It wasn't even a 4x4. So if I was in my old car, I could have got through, I'm sure. But it was in my mother's little car. Sometimes God puts warning signs in our way to say stop. I ignored the warning sign saying, don't go any further. And I got into a little bit of trouble. Don't ignore the warning signs. Balaam missed the cues. The Lord had escalated his form of communication. He tried to get Balaam turned around when the angel of the Lord stood in the way and the donkey went into the field. But Balaam, being stubborn, pulls the donkey back on the path. God tries to get his attention by narrowing the road so that his legs are being bashed into the wall to wall to wall next to the vineyard. And Balaam is getting angrier and angrier. So God eventually brings the road to a stop, as it were, so that the donkey just falls to the ground so that Balaam physically cannot move anymore. But Balaam is so angry because he wants to go his own way. He wants to follow his own path. He wants to do what his heart desires, not what God's word says. And in the end, God has to come to the point of opening the donkey's mouth to say, what are you doing? If nothing else got his attention, I'm sure a talking donkey got Balaam's attention. What have I done to you for you to smite me these three times? You know, the interesting thing here is that Balaam doesn't go, oh, look, a talking donkey. Balaam just says, you've mocked me. And because of that, if I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed thee. Now, we know it's not unusual in the scripture for the Lord to open the mouths of animals. We've seen the serpent speaking in Genesis chapter 3. And, you know, yes, it is amazing that the donkey spoke, but what's even more amazing is Balaam's response. He showed little surprise that the donkey spoke, and he simply talks back and has a conversation with him and justifies his bad behavior. But can I say this? When you're in a rage, you're not thinking rationally. It probably took Balaam a while to realize that, hang on, I'm having a conversation with the donkey. He was so angry, he couldn't see that. Balaam had to admit, though, eventually, that the beast had never behaved that way before. Balaam was about to listen to the one that was trying to save his life. And when he did, it made a difference. It wasn't just the donkey that spoke, but it was God's messenger. Can I say, if you're on the wrong path, listen to those who are trying to help you. Listen to the word of God. Be open to that diversion of correction so that God can put you back on the right path. Finally, we see in the last few verses, Balaam's eyes are opened. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these 3 times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these 3 times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. God opened the eyes of Balaam so that he could see the reality of what was happening in his life. And this is what the Lord has been trying to do all along. But the prophet didn't comprehend the signals. Understand that the Lord uses trials to try and open our eyes. So the Lord uses roadblocks to turn our life around in the right direction. It was David who said in Psalm 119:67, Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Balaam saw what had been unseen. You know, not many people are given that privilege to see the angel of the Lord. You know, we often have a mistaken view of the Old Testament, that every single Old Testament character simply walked around, you know, talking to God, standing right next to them all the time. But that wasn't the case. Only a few privileged people got to see the angel of the Lord. And Balaam was one of them. Balaam was overwhelmed by the truth and reality of what was actually happening in his life, and he fell flat on his face. The angel told him that it was the donkey that saved his life these 3 times because it had turned away. But the reason that the angel was there in the first place was because of Balaam's stubbornness, because his way was perverse. Can I say this, that if you're on a diversion of correction, realize the fact that God is trying to open your eyes. Don't be stubborn. Don't be too proud to admit that what you're doing is wrong. Recognize the fact that the Lord is trying to put a roadblock in your life to put you back on the right path. There are plenty of things that we want. But the Lord doesn't always give us what we want, because he knows what's best for us. But we can become so angry with him that we suddenly start a life of spiritual destruction. Sometimes the Lord just needs to put a block in the path that we're heading down so that he can turn us around and put us back in the right direction. All the Lord wants to do is open our eyes so we see the reality of our present situation. In verse 34, Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Balaam confesses his sin. He acknowledged that he did not know the angel was standing in his way and was opposed to what he was doing. Since his decision was displeasing, he told the angel he would go back from where he came. And that was the whole purpose of this diversion of correction. God wanted him to stop what he was doing and change his attitude and behavior. Wouldn't it be incredible if that's where the story ended? But we know that Balaam didn't turn back. Balaam went. He spoke the words of the Lord. He wouldn't curse the children of Israel. He spoke the words that God gave him to speak. But then he told Balak to corrupt. He couldn't curse them, but he could corrupt them. And in the end, Balaam is destroyed along with the Moabites. If we've been going in the wrong direction in our lives, all we need to do is open our eyes, confess our faults to the Lord, and trust his will for our lives. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the path that we're on. He knows the outcome of every path that we could possibly take in life. And can I say this? I would rather trust him than even trust myself. If we fail to listen to the warning signs, you know, when we're told a road is closed, when we're told that a bridge is out, when we're told to stop, you know, don't go any further. You know, it always makes me giggle when we come to the church and it says, there's a sign, across the bridge there on Ford Road, it says road closed. The road's not closed, the road's gone. You know, but what kind of idiot would we be if we tried to drive the car across the bridge that's not there? We need to listen to those warning signs. Listen to the warning signs that God has put in our path, because he's trying to correct us. He's trying to say to us, child, don't go down this road, because I've seen what's at the end of it. And it's not a good path to be on. Listen to the Lord's correction. We don't like being corrected. We don't like being told that we're wrong. We certainly don't like admitting that we're wrong. Sometimes in our Christian life, we are wrong, and we need the Lord's chastisement and the Lord's correction to put us right. God's not doing it because he's spiteful. God's doing it because he loves us. Those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Let's make sure we listen to the Lord's diverting signs. And when he corrects us, we're obedient to his will and his way so that we can be put back on the path that we need to be on. Let's trust him. Let's not block our ears. Let's not blame others around us. Let's be obedient to the Lord's roadblocks. Open our eyes. And just keep them fixed firmly upon him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. We just pray that you'd continue to speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us in the areas of our lives that are struggling. Father, if there's anyone listening to this message which is on at the moment a bit of a destructive path, Lord, I pray that they would recognize the roadblock, as it were, that you were putting up in front of them. That they would recognize you were chasing in hand, trying to guide you back onto the path that they need to be on. Father, I pray that each and every one of us could pray the same way that the Lord Jesus Christ did, that your will would be done in our lives and not our will. So, Father, we pray that if we need correcting tonight, Lord, that we would be obedient to that guiding hand, that we wouldn't come to a point where we become so irrational that we refuse to listen to anything, especially your word. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your word. Help us to apply it to our hearts and to our lives, and help us, Lord, to recognize those areas of our lives that need corrected, and that we would just open our eyes and see you. Father, we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand and sing our last hymn together, which is More Abundantly. Are you trusting Jesus all along the way? And we'll stand as we sing.
Are you trusting Jesus all along the way?
thank you again, Lord, so much for this time together tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to gather in this way. And Lord, I pray you continue to speak to our hearts. Help us to recognize the areas of our lives that need correcting, Lord, and help us just be sensitive to you guiding in our lives and even to the roadblocks that you place in our way. So, Father, if there's anyone here tonight that has needed this word, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts, that you would help them, that, Lord, they wouldn't be downcast or despondent by the message, that they would be encouraged to recognize the fact that there is indeed help and that there is love in the correcting hand of our precious Savior. So, Father, would you just help us now tonight, Lord, to apply this word to our hearts and to our lives? For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.